Welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on this Monday morning on Kim, a friend you can count on. Let's see, today is July already. My goodness, already. It's already the ninth day of July. And today we have to say it's 2018 in case you may be listening to a playback of this show sometime in the near or far future. It's a sunny day this morning, well, a little bit overcast, but not much. And it's a weekend of a lot of activity that has been completed. Last night at the Cow, I know Todd Thompson was performing, and they had kind of like a surprise for him. And that was between 4 and 6 p.m., and I remembered it at about 10 minutes after 6. So happy birthday, Todd Thompson. Speaking about Todd Thompson, who is a musician, we have a musician in studio this morning, and we're going to enjoy talking to him and hearing some of his music, and his name is Ben Aaron, A-A-R-O-N. Ben, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Wayne. How are you doing?
Well, I noticed something. I'm doing fine, thank you. I noticed that not only do you have a guitar in hand, but you also have a harmonica.
Yeah.
Well, that's the weirdest looking harmonica I've ever seen.
Oh, this is just the rack for it, but I just put a harmonica right here and it holds it up right to my mouth so I can play it while I'm playing the guitar at the same time.
Oh, so. Okay. I was going to say.
Makes life easier.
And it's electronic?
No, it's just the old standard.
Okay.
If you can hear it there.
All right.
And it's a lot of musicians I enjoy listening to, like... I guess Bob Dylan and maybe Tom Petty or Neil Young, and those people, they wrote their songs using the harmonica and the guitar at the same time, and that's how their melodies came out out of thin air, really.
All right. I had a guy from Germany, Horner.
Yeah, I actually saw that. I saw a clip of that on online, actually.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Germany, was that right?
Well, someplace.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Wherever he was from not America. And he was into, he had like 9 of them over the seat, and he played each one and talked about them. And I, of course, didn't understand all of that stuff because I never took a course in music. And I wish I would have. You know, it's one of those things on my bucket list to learn something more about music, etc. I like music.
Me too. And I wish I took a music class too. I actually self-taught myself, and I learned a lot of theory like online. So I kind of really wish I went to a music school, but. I found that you don't really need it necessarily, but it definitely helps, you know, with learning the foundational things. I had to pick that up on my own. But
well, Ben, as you know, hopefully on the show, it's all about you. And we, of course, like to promote whatever it is an individual does, whether it's a CEO of a company or an employee someplace or a nonprofit. Get in a little bit of a plug for that, and then we start with where were you born. You're a pretty young man.
I am 30 years old. Yeah. Considers
okay, how'd that feel,
young.
Turning 30?
Well, it felt like the end of the 20s, I guess. But not much has changed, I guess, you know.
Are you a career musician?
I have been a career musician. Yeah, it's been my profession since August 6th, 2010. So when I was 22 years old, I started playing. I bussed on the streets of Dinky Town in Minneapolis, and that was the first time I moved out, and I was just trying to pay rent with music, and turned out to be really difficult to do at first.
What happened? Why do you remember August 6th?
That was the day, the last day I... I worked in a warehouse in Apple Valley at my last real job, I guess you'd call it.
And you saved money to get a place in Dinkytown, or?
Yeah, I saved up enough money to pay off all the school that I took. Yeah. Not a lot, not too much. And then I was on my own for the first time, and I said, if I'm gonna try to play music, I better do it now. I better give it all I can right now.
And that was 2007?
2010.
10,
so
okay.
So 8 years ago, just over 8 years
okay.
ago.
Are you satisfied with your how you're doing right
yeah.
now?
Yeah, it gets better every single year, and there's more places for me to play, more doors that open up, and it's been a wild ride, but
okay. Do you perform by yourself?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'm a solo act right now, but I do have a band that I play with, just over in Farmington. That's where I live right now, is in Farmington, and we have a group that plays more like classic rock songs.
Okay.
And
fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
What's the name of that band?
We are called the Alan Olson Project. That is our drummer's name, and
as in Alan Parsons Project.
Very similar. Yeah, yeah.
have you played Northfield?
Yes, yes. I've been playing here. Jessica Paxton actually got me to play at the tavern for about the past 4 years. I've been playing there regularly every other month.
Okay.
I play there. So the first Friday of August, I will be playing at the tavern.
Now, is she like your agent?
Oh, yeah, for Northfield. Yeah, for the tavern, at least. Okay. Yeah, Jessica is. Yeah, she's helped me. I don't know if she's still booking, but
I ran into this weekend, or was it you when I was talking to you, asked me about Jessica Paxton. Did you ask me a question about her when we were on the phone last
week? Possible. Yeah, that was...
Okay. And I was going to pass a message on to her. And, of course, now I can't remember who or what. So, anyhow, folks, if you like music, you're going to enjoy, hopefully, I anticipate you will, some music from my guest this morning. And then we'll find out what he's been up to for the last 30 years. It is now 9:09, and a reminder that the Quarterback Club is open, and they have all kinds of great breakfast foods. And we're talking about malt meal, or post, if you will. And we're talking about bacon and eggs and hash browns. And we're talking about waffles and pancakes. And we're talking about donuts and coffee. We're talking about cold cereal. They got it all at the Quarterback Club, and they serve breakfast for... Well, every morning from 6 a.m. until 10 a.m., and it's locally owned, locally managed, and the morning crew that will cook for you include a husband and wife team that have been at the Quarterback Club for over 40 years. And, of course, the QB is in its 50th year right now, from what I understand, 1967. So enjoy your breakfast today at the QB. Ben Aaron, do you want to get started, and we'll find out what your music is like? I also have a CD of you. Is that CD also a solo, or do you have a band on the back of some of the
songs? For that CD, I play all the instruments on it, actually, and I just have a little home studio that I kind of made myself. Nowadays with technology, yeah, I can play the drums, I can play the piano and the bass and then the guitar, and then try to put it all together, and it's just a blast to try to make it all work by yourself. Yeah.
The first time I was exposed to that particular type of effort was Tubular Bells by Mike Oldfield, and I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
I haven't.
But he mixed the whole thing himself.
Wow.
And I'm from the era where, you know, you had your guitarist, you had your bass player, and you had your drummer, and some bands even had horns, and everything was done live and in the studio. And then they started doing this mixing where you can have a drummer from Los Angeles and a violin player from Paris and
then
send it all to one spot and put it all together. So we'll see what that sounds like a little bit later on. But I know that you're anxious to, do you want a sip of water before you get started?
Oh, geez. No, I'll be
okay.
All right here.
Now, you just put in a harmonica, then you took it out and turned it the other way. Now you just pulled that harmonica out and replaced it with another one.
Yeah, I had to switch keys, change keys, because these are, they're called diatonic harmonicas. They only have a certain amount of notes in the certain place, so you got to change the key sometimes.
Okay. Well, what were you? Yeah. What would you like to start off with?
Well, I'd like to start off with one of the first songs I actually ever wrote. This one is called "Johnny on the Go," and it's about John Dillinger robbing banks in the Midwest. And I actually won the Dakota County Fair talent contest with this in 2010 when I first started. And then they sent me to the Minnesota State Fair, and then I won first place there at that talent contest.
Wow.
And it was the first song I wrote, and it was very in the style of maybe Bob Dylan or Woody Guthrie, very folk music, very simple song that I wrote.
All right, here we are. Award winner.
Can you hear the guitar through the
microphone
here?
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn it on, and let's see if you can hear it.
Ah, yeah, there it is. It's coming through. All right. All right, so I'll play a little song for you called "Johnny on the Go." Here we go. Come gather round me, people, and a story I will tell about the greatest robber of the Midwest knew him well. His name was Johnny Dillinger, and he took us for a ride. But that was in the Great Depression when no one had a dime. Well, it's Johnny on the go. Johnny's on the go. Wherever you're a rambling now, nobody knows. Johnny's poor mother died when he was only three. He tried to be a good boy, but a bullied child was he. He grew up fast, working hard. Depression took his job, and that's when they gave him 10 years from the grocery store he robbed. Well, it's Johnny on the go. Johnny's on the go. Wherever you're a rambling now, nobody knows. John broke out of prison, and he knew the world had gone wrong. Most people had no money, and the banks were all headstrong. He asked his friends to back him up in case he were to fall, as he stepped into a tiny bank to make a big withdrawal. And it's Johnny on the go. Oh, Johnny's on the go. Wherever you're a-rambling now, nobody knows. It was over in old Wisconsin, just up Highway 51, in a quiet resting place called Little Bohemia. Coppers found him hiding there, and they shot the place to hell. But Johnny's boys were out of town before the building would fell. It's Johnny on the go. Johnny's on the go. Wherever you're a-rambling now, nobody knows. Late one evening during a picture show, Johnny brought a pretty date, but a traitor from head to toe. The coppers kept a watchful eye for Judas dressed in red, and he jumped out from behind poor John and shot him through the head. Oh no, Johnny's on the go. Johnny's on the go. Wherever you're a rambling now, nobody knows. So all you rambling robbers, wherever you might be, the moral of the story, very plain you'll see. Steal your money while you can, before you have to stop. 'Cause when a price is on your head, your robbing days are up. Well, it's Johnny on the go. Johnny's on the go. Wherever you're rambling now, nobody knows. We'll be right back.
There you go, Johnny on the Go on KYMN Radio by Ben Aaron. Hey, Ben.
Hey.
Sounds good.
All right. Just getting warmed up.
Yeah. I had never heard you play or sing, and so I sit here thinking, I hope this guy is okay, you know, because I have had people that felt really good about their music, and it wasn't really that good, but they enjoyed themselves. And I noticed you enjoyed singing that song. You were smiling all the way through it.
I can't help it, yeah.
And the first thought that came to me, and probably somebody else, was, well, there's a song from a guy that's from around Northfield, and he's talking about a guy from Chicago, and why not Jesse James?
Yeah, I get that here when I play in Northfield.
Do you?
I should write a Jesse James song. Yeah,
well, you should.
It's been too long.
Yeah. You know, it'd be popular here in Northfield.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wrote that after, I think, watching the, there was a movie called Public Enemies. I think Johnny Depp starred as John Dillinger or something, and I watched that and decided to write a folk song based on that, yeah.
And did you mention the red dress or whatever?
Yeah, yeah, I heard that was in the movie, and in the stories that I heard was that someone in a red dress was going to betray, not betray, yeah. But
yeah, betray. Would
yeah,
be right,
yeah, in
yeah.
a way, yeah.
Well,
just
when
be
they
a
say,
signal.
I'm going to wear a red dress, well, you guys can pick out the guy that's escorting me and kill him.
Yeah.
I'd say that's betrayal.
Yeah, interesting story, yeah. It was
9:18 is the time on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio. My guest this morning is Ben Aaron. He is a musician. And he's just a young guy. He's only 30 years old. And let's do one more song, then we'll put the guitar aside and get into your story and get things, get people to know you a little bit better. And what would be, I like it when people, by the way, I enjoyed the way that you sat down and adjusted the microphones and everything. Just boom, No explanation. You just did it. That's good.
Oh, yeah. I think that's because of all that home recording that I do.
Yeah.
I think I know where the mic goes. I think I do.
So, Ben, Aaron, what did you just do with your guitar there?
Oh, okay. I have this thing just called the capo. That's what we call it. And it holds down all the strings in a particular spot. Sort of raises the key of the chords that I play, so it makes it sharper, or we'll call it higher pitched. Yeah.
Okay.
So instead, okay. And it's like having a finger automatically there all the time for you.
So do you play? Do you finger it above or below only?
Oh, yeah, above here where the strings vibrate.
Yeah.
So
you don't go up up towards the. Up there in that area.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the capo, yeah, it just basically is like a big giant finger that's laid down there for you, and it just.
No, is there a particular key that you got that in, or that capo?
We just call it a capo on four.
Capo on four.
Okay, if you're playing along at home, we're at the capo on four, yeah.
Okay, well, that's, you know, it's stuff that I don't know and other people don't know. Okay,
yeah,
you got one giant finger and a thing called the capo, and it's in four. And now you're going to do another song, and let's assume that you're on stage at the tavern and do your own introduction and thing.
Yeah,
I'll sit back and relax.
Well, thanks, Wayne. Yeah. This one, every week I try to write a song, an original song, and during that week I listen to one particular artist. And I started in about the 50s and 60s doing Elvis Presley or, you know, Muddy Waters or... you know, Willie Nelson or something. I try to do a nice variety of that people would like to listen to. And this one I happened to write this year, and I was listening to a band called Fleetwood Mac. And I wrote a song. Stevie Nicks was the one of the singers in that band, and I had a little crush on her growing up as a kid. I would watch some music videos of her playing. And so I wrote this little... unrequited love song to her, and it's kind of funny, kind of silly, and it's kind of a newer one that I wrote. It's called I Think I Love You, Stevie Nicks.
I feel guilty listening to your broken heart. I wish I could tell you this was just the start. you look all so happy spinning in your dress. What a fool am I to wanna wish you the best. So I wrote you a love song, unrequited forever long. Your voice, your eyes, your lips, and that tambourine upon your hips. God sent this back to 76. I think I love you, Stevie Nicks. May you sing your song, stand the test of time. Don't you know I get lost in your gypsy eyes? Don't even get me started with the gems you write. They dance like the wind of a bird in flight. Yes, I wrote you a love song, unrequited forever long. Your voice, your eyes, your lips, yeah, that tambourine upon your hips. God sent this back to 76. I think I love you, Stevie Nicks. La 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 la. Well, I wrote you a love song, your eyes, your lips, that tambourine upon your hips. God send this back to 76. I think I love you, Stevie Nicks.
Well, I think I love you, Stevie Nicks. And, of course, a very, very popular group in its day and still enjoyed by flashbacks. you have heard the song, I Think I Love You, by the Partridge Family, I think it is.
I bet there's probably a thousand songs called I Love You.
Yeah. Well, I Think I Love You.
Oh, yeah, of course, that one. Well, What Am I So Afraid Of?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that one, yeah.
So that's what I thought of when you said that. But I found out in my lifetime that I always thought that when you named a song, that was that. But it isn't. You can, you know, I've heard music that is called, like, Sweet Surrender, and then there could be another one called Sweet Surrender.
Yes,
and
yes.
I was kind of taken aback by that. I thought you kind of, but
I was worried about the same thing. But I found out that you can't really copyright a song title or an album title. That's one thing. I always try to learn something about the legalities of that kind of thing. But no, it's okay to write a song called I Love You, and
I love you, I think I love you, Stevie Nicks.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
It is 9:26 on 1080 Radio, KYMN, live and in color from our studios. We have a gentleman named Ben Aaron. He is a 30-year-old gentleman, and perhaps I'll take a brief break, and you can we'll talk about you, okay?
Yeah,
All right, we'll take that brief break, folks, and then we'll be back and talk to Mr. Aaron, find out where he's from and how he got to where he is today.
Western Commons Assisted Living is where the all-star seniors enjoy life in Northfield. From the delicious meals, the bright, spacious apartments, the volunteer projects, the bus trips we take, classes we attend, and the music we enjoy, there's something for everyone. At Millstream Commons, we treat everyone like an MVP. For more information, call 507-650-0141.
927, good morning.
Does furniture shopping feel like you are a prey being hunted? Around every corner, there is a salesperson ready to pounce. Not at America's Mattress and Furniture to Go in Dundas. You don't have to look over your shoulder as you browse our large selection featuring Ashley Furniture and Serta Mattresses. We will help you when you need it and leave you alone when you don't. Stop into America's Mattress and Furniture to Go in Dundas and see how relaxing furniture shopping can be.
All right, here we are in our studios in beautiful downtown Northfield, Minnesota, on Division at 2nd Street across from the library next to the Archer House. And, of course, there's the tavern in the Archer House, and my friend here, new friend, plays at the Archer House every other Thursday or once a month on a Thursday or something like that.
Yeah. That is, it's actually the first Friday of every other month. And the next time I'll be there will be August, the first Friday in August. And it's usually pretty packed there. People really seem to enjoy the music and the food and have some libations.
where do you play? Upstairs?
Yeah, I play the upstairs part of it, kind of a smaller bar section.
Intimate room, yeah. And in the summertime, people can go out on the deck and relax and all that. So how did you find out about that I enjoy having musicians on my show?
Well, I actually, Terry Knight, who works here and does the news every so often.
And she doesn't just work here. She's Terry Knight.
She is Terry Knight. I mean, she saw me perform at the tavern last time I was there in the first Friday of June. And Jeff was there as well. He was doing the morning, the morning show programming. And they saw me and told me that, Wayne, you interview people and musicians and politicians and anything that's happening in the community. And I, jumped at the opportunity and said, I would love to be on KYMN again.
Well, yeah, and I'm glad that Jeff and Terry, they're not just, they don't just work here. They own the place.
I am learning new things every day, Wayne.
Yeah. Where were you brought up, born?
I was born in Great Lakes Naval Hospital in just north of Chicago in Illinois. I don't remember any of that, but
I suppose I got an idea that your parents, one or the other, or both, were in the Navy.
Actually, yeah, they were in the Air Force. They met actually
Air Force.
Yeah, Air Force. Yeah, and they actually met in the Philippines. They were stationed over there. My mother was a TI, a training instructor, so she was she could be very strict, but she was just a loving mother. And my father was also Air Force. And they met Philippines. I don't know how that went, but they finally came back over here and settled down. And it was Wisconsin for a little while, but my first memories are in Eagan, Minnesota. It was a little apartment over there. I think my dad was doing either Air Force and then Air National Guard.
Yeah, Walt Chamberlain. That's what the old name is of the air base, which is on the other side of the airport.
Yes, by Snelling, Fort Wayne. Yeah. And he... eventually, retired from there. Before that, though, he was actually a disc jockey up in Ironwood, Michigan. That's where he is from.
Wow.
And he graduated from Brown here in Minneapolis. Actually.
Brown Institute.
Yes,
that's
Brown.
My alma mater.
Yeah, that was on, I think it was on Lake Street at the time.
Yes.
And he said he would go to the, what was it, the Pink Flamingo, some bar, nearby.
Yep,
he wanted me to mention that.
Yep.
And that was in 76, I believe he was here. So he would actually drive from Ironwood, Michigan, the tip of the Upper Peninsula, down to Minneapolis to study broadcasting, I think. And then he went up to Ironwood, and he was running like the three radio stations that came out of Ironwood, and he would do commercials, and he would do voices and things like like Jonathan Winters or something.
Is this in conjunction with being in the service also, or is this after?
This is before.
Before.
I just thought it was interesting to mention that. I think you went there too, alumni.
Well, I'm thinking when you say Lake Street, that Brown had two locations on Lake Street. One was a rickety old building upstairs, and the other one was a nice building down by Hiawatha. And I went to the old rickety one, and a lot of great broadcasters came out of Brown Institute. Then they called it Brown College, and the tuition was a lot higher before they closed. And it was owned and operated by an individual, Brownie. We said your father wouldn't have known him because he wasn't on the scene back in the 60s so much when I went. So, well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Give the old broadcast salute to your dad. You know what that looks like?
What's that? Well, it doesn't look like anything, does it?
Well, if you make a mistake and after you turn the mic off, you go like that.
All right.
Okay. So, Egan, do you have siblings, brothers, sisters?
I have I have one younger brother.
What's his name?
That's Alex.
How much younger is Alex than you?
He's 3 years and 10 days.
Okay.
Well, somewhere around there. Yeah. Well,
that's close enough, yeah. Any others?
I have a half-brother who still lives in Ironwood, Michigan from my father's first marriage, and his name is Daniel.
And how much older is he than you?
Oh, I think he's 8 years older, actually.
Okay. Yeah. Did you ever get to know him pretty good, Daniel?
Well, we would always travel up to Ironwood and see my paternal grandfather and grandmother up there, and they're still alive, and every time I call them, they say, no, we're still surviving up here. And I always get choked up when they say that, but they're up in Ironwood still, and I didn't really grow up with my half-brother too much. It was more like, okay, it's 4th of July, we're going to go see the whole family up in Ironwood, and we didn't have a lot of fun, wrestle. They had some land up there, so they go four-wheeling, and they were big hunters. And
do you know if there's an airport up there?
There is, actually, a very small one.
Yeah. Well, guess what? Another connection. Your dad went to Brown. I went to Brown. Years ago, I had somebody on my show, and they were working for the FAA, Federal Aviation, whatever it's called, and they were testing out a new airport in Ironwood, and so they invited me to go along. So flew up there, approached from this angle, approached from that angle, approached from another angle, and they were figuring out what the what they were going to do or what they had done, and made sure that everything was safe and all that, and they had all these instruments, and it was pretty interesting. If you have a bucket list, well, I would like to be the first official plane to go in and out of Ironwood.
Yeah.
So
that, it must have been a smaller plane too, right? Was that like six seats or something?
They never landed.
Oh, okay.
They just
approaching different angles.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Well, yeah.
Interesting. Wow. So you've seen it.
you've
seen Ironwood.
So you didn't have that much. I have a half sister, so I don't have much association. She lives, I think, in Indiana.
Yeah, that's and the thing about half siblings.
You know,
sometimes
we know each other, and I'm the older brother to her.
You're
so, I was kind of like a hero, talked about. Well, so I understand that. So now you lived in Egan then?
Yeah, those are my first memories. Were in an apartment building in Egan. Yeah, and I must have been. Earliest memories, probably 1990. Yeah, I'm such a young kid.
And it was an apartment complex?
Yeah, it was in a little apartment building. Parents didn't have a lot of money, just getting by, And, those were my first memories
now,
there.
Was were your parents still in the service?
My dad was. I think he went over to Air National Guard.
But your biographical dad.
Yeah. My biological father.
Biographical. Biological dad. Okay. He was the Air Force guy.
Yes.
And your mother was an Air Force lady.
Yeah.
And your stepfather is a...
No stepfather. No, I have a stepmother. That happened many years later. Actually.
So when they got divorced, you went with mom.
I did, yes.
Okay.
I was about the age of 10,
All right. So you and Alex went with mom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's the way it happened with me, too. My sister and I went with Mom. Uh-huh. And that's the way it was in those days, too. Well, in my days, I should say, not yours. But yeah, so you get to Eagan, and does your mom stay in the Air National Guard?
Let's see. No, she actually she got a real job. No, she went actually worked at Seagate for a while, I remember. She probably had many other smaller jobs, but I remember we actually moved from Eagan to Apple Valley, still as one whole family. We lived in a nice house in Apple Valley, and that's sort of really where I grew up in childhood for about for like the next 7 years, I'd say, from mm-hmm. age 3 or 4 up to age 10.
Okay.
She worked at, yeah, Seagate in, I think, Bloomington at the time. I could be wrong.
Is that a computer company?
Yeah, they made, they started doing all these computer chips, readers for the hard drives in most computers, and they make their own hard drives to keep all of your, the memory and all your data on there. Mm-hmm. And so she worked there. She had a, remember she would wear a bunny suit, she called it, and it was like to protect any dust particles from getting on these microchips or these processing things. I'm not too keen on the lingo there with the technology, but yeah, she would fix up the chips so your computers could read all the memory, and it was a really exciting time with technology. I mean, the personal computers were just in everybody's home around in the 90s there. And so she did that, and she worked at night, and my dad worked during the day, and so it was a nice even balance, and
you always could be home to keep an eye on you and Alex.
Yeah, I didn't have to have a babysitter, or didn't even need child care, really. Someone was always home, so that was great. Growing up there.
And I was going to mention when you talked about that uniform and all that, my first introduction to how important it is to be clean was when Fairway Foods was here, now it's McLean, but Fairway Foods had a computer room. And we were invited, I think it was the Chamber of Commerce ambassadors, to see the new plant once it opened and all that. And we got to the computer room, and we had to put on gear. And then we had to go through two different, like a little tunnel, but like three doors before you got inside the actual computer room.
Like a vestibule in between the...
Okay,
the,
a vestibule. I remember that's what we called something in church, a vestibule, as we waited for Mass to start. But anyhow, you'd go through a door, then you'd put on the stuff, then you'd go through a door, and then the last thing were hang big plastic strips of stuff, and because it was air conditioned in there.
Wow, okay.
And when you got in there, who knew what they were looking at? You know, it just looked like a bunch of big tin boxes, lights flickering around.
Must have been like a sci-fi movie or something.
Yeah, it was.
Through all that many doors.
And that's before the computer age was really upon. I mean, they were doing it, but I mean, lay people didn't ever get a chance to see that stuff. But yeah. I remember the guy that Gunther. Boys, you know, it's the craziest thing. I can't remember some things, but others just pop my mind. Hmm. And Gunther was the main guy, and he had a very interesting life. He and his wife departed, and he kidnapped his son.
Oh, no.
Now, I did not mention his last name, so I won't get sued for anything, but I guess it was quite a battle for a while and in custody of a child. 20 minutes before 11 o'clock, my guest this morning is Ben Aaron. I should let him talk more. And Ben, in Apple Valley, what school did you go to?
Well, let's see. I started over in Greenleaf Elementary, and then I went to Falcon Ridge Middle School. And then Apple Valley High School is where I graduated. So I stayed in Apple Valley pretty much. Yeah.
Okay, so from Eagan you moved to Apple Valley.
Yes, yeah.
And then you went to an elementary school there. Mm-hmm. And where was the apartment complex?
Let's see. In Eagan, that was the first memories that I had. Yeah, I was off of, I think it was Galaxy turns into Black Hawk Road. I think it's somewhere in there.
Okay.
I've driven by it a number of times. I can't remember exactly where it is, but very first early memories. Mm-hmm. But in Apple Valley, I lived right off of 140th and Galaxy again. We have the big giant hill we'd always go sledding down by Andy's Market.
Is that by the zoo at all?
It's very close. Yeah, we were in walking distance from our elementary school. We just walk over to the zoo.
And that's close, yeah.
And that's really where I grew up around that area. And my family moved around after the divorce, different apartment buildings, sure. different townhouses. Mm-hmm. But we still stayed in that Apple Valley yeah. area. And close to the zoo. That was always a good, I guess, a cornerstone of my life was going to the Minnesota Zoo all the time. Yeah. I actually worked there, too. Not at the zoo, but at the IMAX Theater, the big, giant screen. I think it might be one of the biggest screens in the whole Minnesota. and I worked there. That was probably one of the best jobs I ever had, besides playing music. But that was easy. One theater to clean up after, and that was it. Didn't have to sell too many tickets, either. Yeah.
And so... when you were going to high school now, you were bused there, I assume. Oh, I got to always ask the question that bused, you know, like get on the bus and ride to school.
Yes, yeah.
I always like to ask the question, do you remember your first bicycle?
Oh, yeah. Let's see. I had a couple bicycles, yeah. But the first one I think I had was a Ninja Turtles was very popular around that area, around that time, and I remember having one with, had the training wheels on it and everything. That was the first one I had, and I would actually ride that one around in that apartment in Eagan for a long time. And then I think I had another Spider-Man bicycle, and I remember, another Huffy. That was like my first two-wheeler bicycle, yeah. you know, I had, and I would ride that around the Apple Valley house with the family, I'd always ride it to all the neighbors. We'd always gather up at the Scott Park in Apple Valley, and we cause all sorts of little trouble there as a little kid, probably 10 years old or something like that. Good times, yeah. You probably see my face light up thinking about
the
bicycle, yeah.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
And it's all part of our memories that are pleasant, of course, memories. So when you were in, what was the junior high or middle school? Was that like 7 to 9 or?
Yeah, that is 6. 7 and 8.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a middle school. Yeah, junior high. Yeah, they called it middle school. It was like a brand new one, too. I got very lucky to be able to, right after elementary school, go into this brand new, like, middle school, Falcon Ridge Middle School, right next to, it's on the other side of the Minnesota Zoo. Again,
okay.
walking distance.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could just walk over to the Minnesota Zoo. It's right there. That was 6, 7, 8. Yeah, those were...
Those are pretty informative, formative years.
Yes.
Did you discover music at that time?
It was about the age of 10, 9 or 10, when I first saw my Uncle Tim. He was from Wind Lake, Wisconsin. It's kind of a smaller town in between Madison and Milwaukee. And my Uncle Tim, he... showed me the first guitar I had ever seen. And he was kind of a younger uncle from a later marriage from my grandmother. And so he was a little bit more of a cousin to me. Like he wasn't that much older. And he showed me, he was playing some songs. He was learning how to play some things on guitar. And I think it was like Thanksgiving or something. And the family went off and did something. And I just sat there with the guitar, try to learn one of the songs or something. And the next year I came back, I think I surpassed him in like guitar knowledge. You know, I was only 10 or 11 or something like that. I got really, really focused in on guitar work. My mom got me my first a nylon stringed classical guitar. You know, it sounds a little, it would be what you hear on more, like Spanish guitar, flamenco is what they would call it, a very particular
type
of guitar.
How come she got that kind? Instead of the one you have going.
Yeah, interesting question. It's easier on the fingers. It's softer. The strings, instead of being steel, they're made of nylon. Back in the day, it used to be, I think, some kind of a animal intestines way back in the day. I can't remember exactly.
Cat guts.
That might be it. Yeah, cat gut string. And those are a little bit softer on the fingers. So I was like 10 years old just learning how to
She know that, or did she go to a guitar store and they said, well, if he's just starting, you might want it, and it would be less expensive, and it won't be so hard on the hands. And, you know, you'd give up quicker if you were hurting your fingers.
You don't want to give up too quick. That's exactly, if I worked at a guitar shop, that's exactly the information I would give to somebody. If they just want to start out, here's a smaller guitar. Here's one made of nylon strings, and it won't hurt the fingers as much. And it'll teach them the proper way to hold and do everything.
Does it hurt your fingers to play now?
Oh, no. Yeah, you should see my fingers are so calloused right now, if you can see that. They're indented with guitar string.
And you have clean fingernails.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I try to wash my hands. Yeah. a little bit long, actually, but I'll trim those, yeah.
You know, a lot of people... I think in their lifetime I have picked up a guitar, and I've done it with a guitar, I've done it with bongo drums, and I've done it with a violin, and are discouraged immediately because it, other than just strum, and set it down, because, you know, it really takes more work than you then you realize. You watch, for example, I sit here and I watch you, and it looks easy.
Oh, yeah. Well,
but I know it isn't.
That's a nice compliment. Yeah, actually, yeah. To make it look easy is it takes a lot of practice to make something look easy. Yeah, and I definitely understand picking it up at the beginning at age 10 and trying to play it. It was very on and off, you know, as just a young kid. I had a million other things to do. You know, I had to go play outside and stuff like that. So I did, you know, it was on the back burner. I'd pick it up every once in a while when somebody would mention music or something on the television, you know, mentioned a song. I would turn to my mom and I would say, what's that song? What does that mean? It must have been a joke or something. They're laughing at it. And she said, oh, that's just an old song from the 70s or something. And I would actually go and find out what that song was and try to learn it. I think my first memory of that happening was one of the first songs that I tried to learn all the way through was I was watching a movie called Wayne's World. Now, in the 90s, yeah, this is Mike Myers and Dana Carvey doing their kind of a Saturday Night Live spinoff movie about music.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were just like funny characters, I thought, as a kid, and I didn't get all the jokes. But I remember he would go into this music store, and he saw this American Stratocaster. It's a type of electric guitar that, like, Buddy Holly and all the greats like Jimi Hendrix and all of these amazing guitarists would play, and he wanted it so bad. And he would always say, oh, one day she will be mine, you know, and all these funny things. And one day he picks it up to practice it, and before he could even play anything, one of the clerks says, hey, and he points to the sign, and it says, no stairway. That meant no stairway to heaven. I didn't know that. I said, Mom, what does that mean, no stairway on a guitar? I don't get that. And she said, oh, yeah, it's a song from the 70s or something like that. And I learned that piece. I actually found out how to get, I found the music for it online. This is at a time when I could, you know, find the sheet music or the tablature online. And I learned the song without ever hearing the song, Stairway to Heaven. And I practiced and I practiced and practiced without even hearing this song. And I said, Mom, is this how it goes? And I would play the Stairway to Heaven. She goes, yeah, that's great. You're playing it too fast, though. And so, so I finally listened to the song and realized it's a very slow piece that builds up. And it's this rock and roll, epic, 7-minute song. But yeah. I learned the first part of it without hearing it. It was a really strange.
Is that the one where they do baseball talk in it?
No,
that's
baseball. No. That is a different long song.
Yeah, is that Meatloaf?
Yeah. I think it is Meatloaf. Yes, yeah. I saw somebody perform that in a karaoke bar. It really.
We have a gal here in town, Julie Odette, and she was doing that song at karaoke, and I was dumbfounded. I mean, it's so long.
Yeah,
and she remembers all these words and expresses them exactly, and I thought, wow, Julie, that, you know, I would, you know, just go to a karaoke place in town here that she was at just to hear her do that. She was so good at it.
It's entertaining. Yeah.
Do you still know how to do Stairway?
Yeah, actually, that's one of my go-to songs. I can actually do that, but I do a shortened version, and it's all instrumental on the harmonica. Actually, mm-hmm. it's a very different take on it.
You don't sing it?
No, I could, but it's like a 7-8 minute song.
Yeah,
and I think it's a little long, and I don't have like drums and electric guitars with me, so I shorten it and keep it moving.
Well, we'll have to play that next hour.
Yeah, is that all right if I play a cover of someone else's song? Yeah,
oh, you can play that. Well, here's the deal on this show. I have learned the person seated in your seat wants to play their music. And I always say you got to cover something so people No, you can carry a tune and all that.
That's how I've made my living is doing other people's songs.
And who is your hero, if you will?
Oh, I have many heroes.
Well, ten of them.
All right.
Or three.
Well, let's see. Like I said at the beginning, it was very folk music. Woody Guthrie, he sang, "This land is your land, this land is my land." Bob Dylan. And mostly I gravitated towards Bob Dylan because my wife gave me girlfriend then at the time gave me this album, Bob Dylan bootleg series, all of his like demo recordings, and I listened to his voice and I went, oh, that's an awful voice he has, maybe I can sing, if he can sing, he's from Minnesota, maybe I can sing if I
know
this voice.
Exactly what you mean.
Here it's very inspirational to hear Dylan's voice. It's
did
bad,
you
but.
You know his Lay
across my big brazy beard.
You know that one?
Yeah.
Oh man, we got something to look forward to. That's about the only song I like about Bob Dylan. I still don't understand why he is so popular. And I don't mean to make any Dylan fans mad.
No.
I just don't. I'm just going, wow, this guy's so popular.
And it was it's the other people that sang it that made him popular.
And we had a woman here by the name of Della, who lived she was 105 when she passed away. Dylan's mother and this woman were best friends in Hibbing.
No kidding.
And she knew Bobby Dylan when he was running around as a little kid. We are going to take a break here, a final break on this hour, and then we'll be back with our guest here on the Wayne Eddy Affair. We have a fellow by the name of Ben Aaron in the studio, along with his guitar and harmonica.
Are you looking for a rewarding career with a successful, growing company? Post Consumer Brands, the makers of Maltomeal, Honey Bunches of Oats, and Pebbles, is hiring full-time in Northfield. We're looking for passionate individuals with previous manufacturing experience and a high school degree. We offer competitive wages for production employees starting at $20.63 an hour, and maintenance employees starting at up to $31 an hour, depending on experience. 401k with a generous company match and bonus incentive plans. To view openings and apply for our full-time positions, visit jobs.postconsumerbrands.com/KYMN.
Fox Landscaping is known for their creative landscape design and installation. Mike Fox has over 30 years doing design work, brick patios, driveways, and walkways. Call Mike at 645-9091. That's Fox Landscaping of Northfield.
Hi, this is Julie from the Northfield Liquor Store. Our profits directly support the community. What does this mean? Well, did you know that over the years, since I first started working at the Muni, we have contributed over $2.5 million to pay for basic city services? This includes everything from police and fire to streets, park and recreation, and the library. So when you shop at the Northfield Muni, you support the home team. You keep the snowplows running in the winter and the potholes filled in the summer, and we thank you.
5 minutes before 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair on the 95.1 FM, KYMN Radio 1080 AM. And by the way, on today's 15 with the author, Terry Knight talks with New York Times bestselling author Brendan Keeley on his new book, Tradition is Not an Excuse. The novel explores the traditions of an elite prep school, the fictitious Fulbrook Academy. Male athletes are encouraged towards violence, and females are encouraged to do as they are told. Keeley, a former teacher, was inspired to write Tradition is Not an Excuse after what he witnessed and the Me Too movement. The novel follows two students, neither of which feel they belong. He talks about what it's like to write in the voice of two distinct people. And that is at 11 o'clock this morning with Terry Knight. Ben Aaron, before the news, coming up here in about three and a half minutes, how about treating me and our listeners to another song?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a little bit more on the country side of myself. This is written by Willie Nelson and made famous by Patsy Cline. And it's called Crazy, one of my favorites to play.
Well, I'm crazy, crazy for feeling so lonely. Yes, I'm crazy, crazy for feeling so blue. Well, I knew you loved me as long as you wanted, and then someday you'd leave me for somebody new. Why do I let myself worry? Ooh, wondering what in the world did I do? Ooh, yeah, crazy for thinking that my love could hold you. Yes, I'm crazy for trying, crazy for crying, and I'm crazy for loving you. Why do I let myself worry? Ooh, wondering what in the world did I do? Ooh, yeah, crazy for thinking that my love could hold you. Yes, I'm crazy for trying, crazy for crying, and I'm crazy for loving you.
Hey, that I enjoyed that. You have a lot of work to do on your whistle.
Yeah. I don't know how to work it on the microphone. I get really close and probably give it some distance.
Well, you're off key.
Oh,
did you notice that?
Maybe. Okay. It's a little early.
I'm not trying to embarrass you, but I just said, number one, I used to like to whistle, and now I'm not, and you just popped into it, and you know, to be able to do that is, you know, a talent unto itself. And people love to whistle. You know, you whistle while you work and all that.
Yeah,
crazy. Yeah. I liked your rendition.
Yeah, I'm not very good at the... we're working on it. It's fun to mix it up a bit. Yeah.
We are going to take a break. You know, by the way, there's an old saying about if you love your job, it isn't called work. Right?
Yeah,
and
exactly,
as a musician, you know, you can... hand to mouth it, you can do okay and you can do great, you know, but you're doing something that you love,
mm-hmm.
which is a real important part of life.
Oh, yeah,
I tell you that as a guy has spent more time on earth than you have. It is KYMN Radio, 1080 on your AM dial and 95.1 FM. We are the one from Northfield, Minnesota, 10 o'clock.
More rescued. Government deadline. I'm John Trout. Four ambulances have left the area around the flooded cave in Thailand. This brings to 8 of 13 trapped people having now been extracted. Correspondent Ivan Watson describes the scene.
The rescue operations have been suspended now. Night has fallen, but it was another productive day. Four more boys brought from deep within the mountain where they have been stuck for more than 2 weeks in a cavern. More than 2 miles into the mountain.
A federal judge in California has denied a government request for more time to reunite separated immigrant parents and children. Correspondent Miguel Marquez.
For parents who are now getting out on bond on their asylum hearings, the government's saying it's up to you to prove to us that you're actually these kids' parents.
The American Civil Liberties Union says they have a list of 102 children under age 5 who must be reunited by tomorrow under that federal order. More former Ohio State student athletes have come forward to say they were sexually assaulted by the late Dr. Richard H. Strauss. Former assistant wrestling coach Jim Jordan, now a Republican congressman from Ohio, has insisted he was never aware of any abuse. Correspondent Jean Casares.
One former Ohio State athlete who wrestled under assistant coach Jim Jordan in the late 1980s says he was sexually abused by Dr. Richard Strauss and never told Jordan. He describes Larkin Hall, the athletic facility where the wrestler showered, as a pedophile's dreamland, and that if Jordan didn't know, he was living under a rock. He described Jordan, though, as a class act.
President Trump announces his pick to replace retiring Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy tonight. Trump told reporters that as of yesterday afternoon, he still hadn't narrowed his choices down to one candidate, but said his final four options give him a you-can't-go-wrong opportunity. I'm John Trout.
I'd be out till 2:45. Would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the Wayne Eddy Affair on the 95.1 FM and 1080 on your AM dial for almost 50 years coming up in September. This is KYMN, a friend you can count on. Speaking about a friend, I'm making a friend right now with a fellow by the name of Ben Aaron, and he is a musician, a singer. He performs on the first or third or second or fourth Friday at the tavern on a regular basis, and we still have you in middle school. Did you get involved in music in middle school, or were you go out for football or basketball or baseball or anything like that?
Yeah, in middle school, I was I played some football in middle school, and I for the Falcon Ridge, the Falcons there, and I did not enjoy it as much as some other people did, and I got to play center, and I got to hike the ball to the quarterback all the time and make sure everything went according to plan, but I found that music was a lot easier, and I was a pretty lazy kid. I have to admit, I didn't like to do
well. One of the questions I always ask Ben is, even though it was in middle school and you were the center and you hiked the ball, what's that one play you'll never forget?
The center sneak. I don't know, that one's for me. It's when I would pretend to hike the ball to the quarterback, but I would take it myself, and I would just run up the middle and try to get some yards that way.
How'd you do on that? What one play do you remember?
Oh, geez. They figured it out soon enough, but yeah, we'd throw it in there once in a while, and I'd get pretty far, but they'd catch on and tackle me about 10 yards. I don't think I ever made a touchdown or anything.
First down.
Yeah, maybe a first down.
Then. So now you're playing music, and of course you're in middle school, and that's about the time everybody likes girls. Girls like boys. Boys like girls. And if you can sing and play the guitar,
maybe
that might have an impact on sticking with it.
Yeah, that's when I started going taking music. But I never took any classes. Like I said before, I was a self-taught. I was more at home, and I'm trying to figure it out all by myself. And why do these chords fit with these chords? Why does it sound good? What makes it tick? And so I learned all on my own. So I really regret not taking any choir classes, not taking any...
Nothing?
No, I never
took... No band?
I did take maybe a piano class. I took piano as a child. Learned a little bit here and there, but I just wanted to play guitar, and they didn't have like
so
band
you went
guitar.
Through high school without any participation in choir or band?
No, I wish
musicals or plays or anything like that.
No,
did you have your own little band?
Actually, yeah, get together with a band that's Andy Reeson over in Apple Valley. We'd go over to his house. He was the drummer. And those days I was really into like the heavy, the fast and hard rock and roll stuff. But
with a acoustic guitar?
No, actually, I had a 7-string electric guitar.
Ooh.
So instead of 6 strings, it has an extra lower one. So it'd get really heavy and sludgy. And during that time, that was early 2000s for me. It was all about really headbanging, you know, heavy stuff. And it wasn't really popular during the time, but we found that was our calling, I guess, was to play the heavy metal.
Did you have a mosh pit or anything?
No. Well, maybe a small one. We only played maybe a couple shows, like a 4th of July party in the garage, a garage band sort of a thing. But
did you get paid?
Oh, no. We never got paid at that time. We were just having fun. That was... Yeah,
did any of those? What did you have a name for the band?
Oh, I think we called ourselves Futz.
FUTZ.
Yes, FUTZ.
Did any of those guys go on to have a musical career or at least a second income career?
You know, I am not 100% sure on some of the guys. I got a little
falling
out. What year
did you graduate?
2006.
So you had a 10-year class reunion.
Yeah.
Did you go?
I actually had a show that night, so I couldn't make it.
Okay.
I had to make the money.
Wish you could have gone?
Yeah. And there's so many things in life I wish I could have
and
done
entertain
over.
And say, hey, look at me now, or something like that?
Yeah, I think, it wasn't... look at me now. Nobody would recognize me.
Well, I mean, your music, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I've emceed a lot of class reunions, and, you know, it's, we have a disc jockey, but we don't have anybody that can come forward and say, hey, I can play the guitar, I can play the harmonica, and I can sing.
I would, I'd love to do that. Maybe if you do the 15-year or something
like
that.
How many graduated from your class at Apple Valley?
Gosh. You know? A lot.
Yeah. So you're just a little...
It was like 900 or something.
Oh, my gosh.
So many.
How can you get personal and fun-loving with 900 people?
So many people,
Class reunion, that's nuts.
No, you just kind of find people that have the similar interests, and you have your own little get-togethers.
Well,
that's
what
it.
Was the falling out with your band?
Oh, he's, a lot of, one guy did a lot of... let's say harder drugs. He was very young, and I wasn't really interested
still
in that
alive?
Sort of thing. I, to be honest, I haven't spoken, and I can't even really remember last time I did speak to him. But last time he was doing all right. I think he had a child, and has kind of grown up of quite a bit. I really,
So when did you start? In high school, you were wanting to get through, get a diploma, but you wanted to play your music.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So when you got out of high school, nowadays, and I don't mean to diss anybody, but somebody once said a high school diploma in 1960 would be like a college degree in 2018.
I think
and especially in commonplace, but So were your parents telling you, kid, you're going to go to college? Did they evidently went to college if they were in the service? Were they officers or enlistees?
I don't even know that much. But, my parents didn't push me into the military at all. They didn't almost. I'd
Not
say
your friends, your parents.
Oh, sorry, yeah, parents. I mean, or, yeah, my parents. They didn't push me into the military yet. I don't think they just wanted me to make my own decisions, but stay wise, you know, be wise about it.
In this town, most parents are, you're going to, I mean, it's a foregone conclusion you're going to college.
Especially in the college town.
Yeah, you know, I'd say. And so I'm just wondering if your mom or dad the same thing, like, hey, I'm saving money for you to go to college, and you better get into college, blah, blah, blah.
Money was always tight with the family, so I probably preferred not to go to college, but I wanted, they wanted me to go to college and do the wise decision of going to a community college or a smaller.
Did you?
And I did, yes.
Which one?
I actually talked to my high school counselor and I said, I guess I should go to the University of Minnesota because that's what you do after high school, right? And she said, well, no, you can get a good education without the big bills to pay at the end of it.
Yeah.
So I thought about it and I went, yeah, okay, I'll just go to a smaller school and actually see if there's anything that interests me in the first place. Because when I went, I really didn't have much of a direction. I mean, I thought about being a psychiatrist for a while. I would listen to some talk radio shows late at night, one of them called Loveline, and this Dr. Drew character. I mean, he's kind of a celebrity doctor now, but he was an addiction medicine specialist. And he just seemed like a very wise person, and I thought, I want to be like that.
Did he look like you thought he'd look when you saw him on television after listening to him on radio?
Yeah, well, he's a handsome gentleman, I guess.
Okay,
and I saw him and I went, well, he's a lot better looking than I guess I imagined.
I mean. You know, some people say, oh, I thought you'd be much taller. Oh, I thought you'd be better looking, or, you decide to?
I went to went up to a little place in Bloomington. I think it's Bloomington, right? Called Normandale. Is that in Bloomington?
It's a very popular school.
Yes, I went to Normandale, and it's great. I tried a little bit of everything, and that's what I think college should be about: is about kind of finding yourself. What do you like? What do you like to do? What kind of classes interest you? And so, for a very reasonable price, I got to try all sorts of different classes. I really gravitated towards philosophy. I really enjoyed just the study of thought, figuring out what does it all mean.
Did you get into existentialism?
existentialism?
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit on my own. I would actually kind of study this stuff on my own and see what kind of arguments were out there. But I went through like philosophy of ethics. Philosophy of art was a very interesting one for me. And philosophy of religion was too. I find religion very fascinating. I don't really actively practice anything myself, but I find religion to be just very, very fascinating. All the
what do you think it's there for?
Oh, it's for yourself. That's what I think it's for.
That's the spirit.
The spirit. That's the spirit. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. That's it. I think it's a very personal thing, and it's for kind of finding yourself and really finding some direction in life. And I think everybody could really benefit from it, bits and pieces, parts of it. You can go all in on it, too. I know I have family members very religious, and I respect that. But for me, I'm still young. I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm kind of afraid to walk in and sort of commit myself to just one thing. I'm really still finding things out and learning. Like I said, I'm learning new things every day, and I don't know where I belong or anything like that. Now, I'm getting too philosophical now. Yeah, it got me down in that college philosophy region.
Well,
but
I have a friend now who is a professor of philosophy at St. Olaf, and he's also a boxing coach. And he's more close to my age than to you. And he wrote a book on
existentialism?
Yeah. I don't know why I can't say that.
Existential
and
crisis.
And I started reading it. Huh. We're talking deep. Jeepers creepers.
No, I can't even go that far. I can't read a textbook and quite understand it without somebody helping me out.
I've always maintained that if you get a degree, a doctorate degree in philosophy, you're going to teach philosophy.
Yeah, that's about
and
it.
And then you get a degree in philosophy, then you teach philosophy.
Yeah.
And he invited me to, I told him I'd like to sit in on one of his classes. And, he said, well, you know, you're the type of guy I would like to have in my class because you ask questions. So I'm going to do that hopefully next school year. So you're in high school, 900 people. You got a little garage band. You end up going to Normandale. Did you get out in two?
Actually, I was working. I think it was 2.5. I think I took some night classes too. I wanted to work. I sort of paid it off as I went, so I made sure I did. I worked enough to pay everything off.
And, Before we get into what jobs did you have, and to today at age 30, I imagine you've had a few jobs, plus your consistent performances. Before we go any further, let's hear Stairway.
Okay.
Do you need 30 seconds to warm up or do anything? Because if you do, I can do a 30-second break.
Oh, I can start right now if you'd like.
Well, let's do it. I like that.
All right. So this is I call it the short version of Stairway to Heaven, and I play it instrumentally with the harmonica and the guitar at the same time. So if you can imagine over the radio, my fingers doing a lot of work, and as well as my mouth doing a lot of work. So we'll make it go. Here we go. Thank you.
Ben Aaron, live on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio, a friend you can count on. Ben, I have to ask you this. That was well done, by the way. Well done. Very well done.
Thank you.
Tell me what, on something like that, do you really get it down perfect on the guitar and then start trying to put the harmonica into it or vice versa? But, I mean, did anybody ever tell you you're using one side of your brain and the other side? Or I've often wondered how you can do both those things at the same time.
The best way I could give some advice for that is to learn an instrument so well enough that it becomes muscle memory to at least one side of it. And then you can kind of maybe use your other part of your brain to sort of do the harmonica part of it, because that takes a little bit more thought of where that melody is going.
Yeah.
And then, but yeah, like I said, this is one of the first songs I tried to learn on the guitar, and I played it like too fast or something. I didn't have it down the correct way. And so I played it on the acoustic guitar many, many, many times over and over, over years. Like that song probably took me 15 years to complete in that way with the harmonica and the
guitar. You're 15 years old.
Or since I was 10, and then I'm about age 25. Okay. I finally figured out that I could do both at the same time. And
It was very, very well done, folks. That was live. That was live. From our studios in downtown Northfield. When you were going to Normandale, did you live at home for a couple of years after high school?
Yeah, I was living at home and working, so I would go to work in the morning.
Job?
And I worked at that time, let's see, at the beginning, I worked at my very first job, let's go quickly, was Panera Bread. It's this great food place, like kind of fast food, but a little bit nicer quality stuff. And then after that, I worked at the IMAX Theater over by the Minnesota Zoo. One of my favorite fun little jobs. And then after that, a friend of mine got me to work at a local business called McCormick Computer Resale. They call it MCR, and that's over on the corner. It's still in Apple Valley on the corner of Pilot Knob and 42. And they're still in business, doing well. But I learned a lot from that business because the person who owns it, you know, he started it all by himself. And I learned a lot about starting your own business through his business, and that all this was just created out of nothing. And I thought, wow, that's really inspiring. I kind of want to start my own business. I don't know what, but over time I figured let's try something that I'm really passionate about so I don't lose any steam. And so I tried music. Forgot what was the question about working, right? Is it the job?
Your jobs, the various jobs you've had.
So that's it. I'd say I have Panera Bread, IMAX Theater, and then working in a warehouse for many years while I was paying off the school. And that was a great business.
What warehouse?
It was it's called MCR, McCormick Computer Warehouse.
Okay.
McCormick Computer Repair. Okay. And so we'd get in old point of sale systems, POS systems from groceries or grocery stores or different businesses. We'd clean them up and fix them, reprogram them. We had some technicians there who would update everything. And my job was basically in the warehouse was shipping and receiving, like taking in the packages, opening them up, figuring out what the heck was where it's going, and then sending them out, packaging them up, and make sure they got out there on time. And that was my job. Pretty simple. I did a lot of reorganizing. The company kept growing and growing. So
were you doing gigs along the line?
I was starting. Figured out how to sing. You know, at that point, and I was playing guitar, and I did hit some open mics. Invited some coworkers to go to an open mic, just on Highway 3, I think. There's some open mics over in Farmington, where I live now, actually.
What do you mean, open mics?
Oh, an open mic is sort of, they give you, two or three songs to sing in front of mostly other musicians. You get a little stage time, and it's not very much, but you really get to try out some new things in front of other musicians, and it's a lot more connecting with other folks that play music. or you know, other times they have like poetry open mic and
okay.
And
well, I understood what.
Okay.
I mean, I understand what open mic is, but I didn't know what you were. Were you doing karaoke or you
yeah,
know, as you were trying to develop your yeah. voice? That's what I was wondering.
I did more. Songwriting open mics. Very interesting. A little bit further down the road than karaoke, I guess. A little
yeah. We'll take a break. Be right back on the Wayne Eddy Affair with our guest, Ben Aaron.
It takes special skills to be a Daikin Comfort Pro. Let's listen in as he senses an old, inefficient system's imminent demise.
So costly. Tormented by an ongoing battle over the thermostat. Its days are numbered.
You got all that by waving your hand in the air in our living room?
Get to know your local Daikin Comfort Pro.
This is Andy Straits with Straits 72 Degrees, your local third-generation business. Call me at 645-4040 or straightsheating.com.
That isn't going to work. That's your CD.
Oh, yeah.
Now, let me see if I get
a little fuzzy on that.
Little different cut, see what happens.
Oh, no, man, it's not good. I can play that for you if you want.
Yeah, okay.
A little technical difficulties there. Sorry
yeah.
about that.
Yeah, but this radio, we handle it quite well.
A little
28 minutes after 10 o'clock on Kim Radio. And Ben Aaron, you mentioned that you do 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. You write your own music. You write your own lyrics. And you perform at various places. We know the tavern. What about other places that you perform? You're a married man, so you have to make some money. I assume you're married. You're
yes.
wearing a ring.
Yes.
Where'd you meet your wife?
Oh, my beautiful wife. I met her. I was actually dating one of her friends in college at Normandale. That's how we met. I was dating Katie, and she actually introduced me to her friend Aubrey, and we were really good friends.
Aubrey?
Yes, Aubrey is my wife, yeah.
Okay.
And thanks for listening, honey. It's great.
Hi, Aubrey. Hey. How you doing? All right.
Oh, she's doing well. I think she's got...
Get
she's
out
listening.
In the kitchen and shake those pots and pans.
Oh.
That's from Shake, Rattle, and Roll.
Shake, Rattle, and Roll.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's great. Oh, no, and so, yeah, originally when I met Katie, we didn't click very well. We weren't very... good couple, but Aubrey and I, we were just really good friends. We had so much in common, and that friendship grew into a great relationship, and we got we started dating
in
2008, and I think that was 2008.
8 years.
But then we got married in 2015, so we were together for quite a while, you know, for an extended...
Do you have children?
No children yet.
Okay.
No.
So what do you do for a living now?
Well, I play music for a living, actually, and I've done that since 2010. And it was really hard to actually tell my parents, too, and along with my girlfriend at the time, my wife.
I want to get out of the warehouse. I want to just devote all my time to music.
Yeah,
I want to write, and I want to practice and rehearse, and I want to perform.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you get a kick out of being the center stage, as they say?
No, I don't like being a center of attention. Actually, I prefer my dream job right now would be to write songs and have other people perform them. I try to write a song every week or every other week.
Well, that's where the money is.
That is. Yeah, that's interesting. Because I don't think I don't dance around very much. You know, I have the harmonica, I have the voice, I have the guitar. I can't, not a lot of room to dance. I mean, unless you're doing a kind of Elvis Presley hip shaking thing. But even then, he had a band behind him, so it's hard to.
What Elvis Presley song do you like to do best?
The one that I currently have in rotation right now is it's a love song. It's actually my wife and I's first dance for our wedding was I Can't Help Falling in Love with You. And I think he recorded that a little bit later in his career. I can't remember exactly. I mean, like 68 specials.
Well, if you want to play that, go ahead, but wake me up when you're done, will you?
Oh, okay. Gotcha. No, yeah.
I just thought I'd say that.
it's a beautiful love song.
Well, I mean, I'm from the Elvis Presley era, and you know,
what was that like? Did you enjoy Elvis, or you were probably into?
Yeah, I was like in the eighth grade.
Influential.
That's and then he covered Carl Perkins' Blue Suede Shoes.
Oh, yeah.
And he had a lot of songs that I like, and he was a very good singer.
He had a beautiful
voice. You know, at first you'd think he's just a good looking guy with a guitar, and who, you know, as a young boy, who cared that much. But I Can't Help Falling in Love with You is so slow and sappy.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to diss your wedding song, but
it's one of those. Dancing at a wedding is pretty sappy too, I guess. You know.
I've done that.
I don't know, of course. Yeah, but it's just.
What other Elvis song do you know?
Oh man, it's been a while, but his first hit. That he was on the, how does it go? Well, that's all right, Mama. That's all right with you. That one, what is that? What is it called? That's all right. That's all right, Mama.
I remember that off of Sun Records.
Yeah, those are the good days. Apparently, I like those Sun Records with Johnny Cash, Elvis Presley,
What other '50s do you cover?
Yeah, I do a lot of Johnny Cash. Actually, that seems to be one of the most popular country artists that sort of every generation, every walk of life here, at least in Minnesota, is just really familiar with.
Now, do you emulate him, or do you do it in your own style?
You know, I try to hit the low notes. Yeah, I try to get
low. What's your favorite one by him? There's so many.
Can't go wrong with Folsom Prison Blues. I like I Walk the Line, too. That one's a really interesting way. And a Ring of Fire. Those three I pretty much play on a regular basis.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'd like to have you do Ring of Fire.
All right.
And while you're doing that, I'm going to check out this other computer. Don't think I'm rude. Do the song, and I'm going to try to look something up here, okay?
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, live and in color from our studios in beautiful downtown Northfield, Minnesota, on KYMN Radio, the Wayne Eddy Affair, here's Ben Aaron.
We love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Well, it's bound my wild desire. Well, I fell into a ring of fire. Yes, I fell into a burning ring of fire. Down, 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 and the flames went higher. It burns, 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 the ring of fire. Yeah, the ring of fire. Yes, I fell into a burning ring of fire. Down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire. Yeah, the ring of fire. You know the taste of love is sweet when hearts like ours meet. I feel for you like a child. Oh, but the fire went wild. Yes, I fell into a burning ring of fire. Down, 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 and the flames went higher. It burns, 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 the ring of fire. Yeah, the ring of fire. Burns, 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 the ring of fire. Yeah, the ring of fire. With a ring of fire. With a ring of fire. Yeah, the ring of fire.
Good. Good. And it burns, burns. How many songs do you think you have memorized?
I got about 100 in
The head.
100 in the head, yeah, ready to go. But
wow.
If I can look at, I don't usually look at the music unless I'm learning that actively. But yeah, I got about 100 in the head, kind of rotating.
Do you you have your sets, right, when you're performing?
Yeah,
I try. And you write the songs down. You might have 8 different types of sets that you play, depending on where you're at.
Yeah, usually I try to see the audience and try to figure out, okay, looks like, a whole bunch of younger kids are coming in, so maybe I'll play something. They look like 90s kids or something. I'll play maybe something from the 90s that I'm sure they'd recognize. Mm-hmm. And I try to feel out the audience, and I just try to entertain a crowd. That's what I've been working on for the past, I guess, like 8 years, is just trying to make sure I play songs that everybody kind of recognizes that's in the audience. So
I want to play something for you, if I may, okay?
Sure. Okay. All right.
Requested song, here they are. Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, burns, burns. That ring of fire, that ring of fire.
That's you singing
love
there?
Is a burning
well, that's me butting in, you know.
Oh.
But that's Bob Wooten, and he was the guitarist for Johnny Cash for 30 years.
Yeah.
He passed away about this time, 2 years ago. But he sounds just like Johnny Cash. Well, I imagine.
Unbelievably, yeah.
I imagine playing with them for 30 years. So you said that you do numbers from, they look like they're the 90s. Pick something now. We did the 50s.
Oh, sure.
Okay, do the 60s.
Absolutely.
Or, see if we can do that generational thing.
We talked a lot about, I'll ask you as the audience member, the direct audience member. Are you more of a fan of, do you like the Beatles at all? I mean, that was
the Beatles.
Your time.
Yeah.
I mean, you were actively like on the radio. I'm not sure exactly what type of music you were playing at that time.
Well, my first radio job was block programming.
Oh.
You had Moonlight Serenade music, and you had polka music, and then you had the teenage 15-minute music that you could do for 15 minutes.
So you're programming it all, doing the blocks. Okay,
Well, that's the only show in town over in Tomo, Wisconsin. At that time. So you try to, I always listen to the poker show. Oh, I like the teen show. I like the farm report. Oh, I like the, So go
Absolutely.
Ahead.
All right, I'll give it a shot here. This is one of my favorite songs by the Beatles, if that's all right to play.
It's all right, baby. It's okay with me.
This is one of my favorite songs. I play it almost every day when I go play at my shows. And it's called Here Comes the Sun. It's a beautiful song. It's written by George Harrison. Yeah, their guitarist. And sang by the Beatles.
First one to die.
Lennon. Here we go.
Here comes the sun, doo 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 doo. Here comes the sun, I said. Well, it's all right. little darling, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter. Little darling, it feels like years since it's been clear. Here comes the sun, doo-doo-doo. Here comes the sun, I said, well, it's all right. Little darling, the smiles returning to their faces. Little darling, it feels like years since it's been clear. Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun, I said, well, it's all right. Since it's been clear, here comes the sun. Here comes the sun, I said, well, it's all right. Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun, well, it's all right. It's all right.
Very good. I enjoyed that. Thank you, Ben.
Oh, you're very welcome. My pleasure.
Ben Aaron, very good on the guitar and the harmonica, on voice. He does it all. It is 16 minutes before 11 o'clock. Time for me to take a brief break. Be back in a flash.
Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago, and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
Hi, I'm Alyssa, director at the Vitalink Adult Day Center on the Three Links campus. Are you the primary caregiver of an adult living at home? Do you need a break from caregiving to recharge and do what you need or like to do during the day? That is where our program can help. We will provide a fun, nurturing setting for your loved one to thrive at. Vitalink Adult Day Center. Transportation is available. Call 664-8865 to learn more or go to threelinks.org.
Elvis Costello, you ever heard of him, ladies and gentlemen? Well, my guest knows how to play some Elvis Costello. I am not familiar with his songs, or maybe I am. What is Elvis Costello tune that you know?
Oh, well, I know, let's see, can't,
what?
Let's see, I can't hear myself in the headphones, but that's all right.
Why is it? did you unplug them by accident?
No, they're good there, I think. Oh, maybe.
Turn it up. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay, there we are.
You can put them both on now.
Yeah.
I got it, so one is on one is on the guitar, the other one's on the harmonica.
Yeah, no, I just so this is what I do every week. I listen to an artist and I study them. I figure out what makes their music sound like them. And it's always a mystery every week. And this week I did U2, the Ireland band. And last week I did Elvis Costello, another an English punk rocker. Not quite punk, though. He was more of kind of like new wave, late 70s, and so this kind of different sound. But he was really based in rock and roll. Like, you could hear the Buddy Holly coming out of him, you know, some kind of old rock and roll influences, American music coming from this English Brit rocker or Brit punk rocker. But he would also write some really sweet and really intelligent songs. And maybe that's because he wore, or I get that feeling because he wore glasses a lot of the time or something. But but he would write some really, his words were just tremendously appreciated by the music community. And I really got interested in this one song called Allison. And it's my wife's favorite song by Elvis Costello. And I just learned it a couple of weeks ago. So
Aubrey,
should I go ahead?
Aubrey, yeah. This is for you.
This one's for you, dear. Okay. Here we go.
Oh, it's so funny to be seeing you after so long, girl. You look, I understand you are not impressed, but I heard you let that friend of mine take off your party dress. I'm not gonna get too sentimental like those other sticky Valentines, 'cause I don't know if you are loving somebody, but I only know it isn't mine. Allison, I know this world is killing you. Oh, Allison, my aim is true. Well, I see you got a husband now. Did he leave your pretty fingers lying in the wedding cake? You used to hold him right in your hand, but he took all that he could take. Sometimes I wish that I could stop you from talking when I hear the silly things that you say. I think somebody better put out the big lights, 'cause I can't stand to see you this way. Allison, I know this world is killing you. Oh, Allison, my aim is true. My aim is true. My aim is true. True.
Elvis Costello live from our studio. No, wait a minute. That was not Elvis.
Yeah.
That was Ben Aaron.
That's me.
Okay. Yeah, the first time Elvis I ever Costello. Heard of Elvis Costello was there was a poster in the Reichstag store down the street here. And the first thought was, well, wait a minute. You can't have an Elvis? Who's Elvis Costello?
Yeah.
And, you know, because to me, my generation, Elvis was Elvis. I mean, nobody should take that name.
Yeah. I think his real name was Declanus. I can't remember his real name, but they changed it to Elvis. They thought, oh, this is a terrible idea. But
I thought it was.
Yeah, maybe just Costello would have been better. Yeah. That's a good one.
Then he wore glasses, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then that's for that. Brings you Buddy Holly.
Yeah, I always felt that listening to him or whenever I saw his picture. Yeah. I thought, is this Buddy Holly? No. Yeah. No, Costello.
Well, while you're thinking about another cover song from maybe the 50s or 60s,
oh, okay.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk. Remind people that on today's 15 with the author, Terry Knight talks with New York Times bestselling author Brendan Keeley about his new book, Tradition is Not an Excuse. The novel explores the traditions of an elite prep school, the fictitious Fulbrock Academy. Male athletes are encouraged towards violence, and females are encouraged to do as they're told. Keeley, a former teacher, was inspired to write Tradition is Not an Excuse after what he witnessed and the Me Too movement. The novel follows two students, neither of which feel they belong. He talks about what it was like to write in the voice of two distinct people. 15 with the author with Terry Knight this morning at 11 o'clock, which is 8 minutes away. Kim Radio, A Friend You Can Count On, another song by my guest here this morning, Ben Aaron. And Ben, have I covered your life pretty much that now you're a professional singer, songwriter, dancer? Your wife works, I assume.
Just recently, I have been working so hard and playing about five or six shows a week that we get to just survive off of my making music income.
Wow.
And she's kind of my manager and kind of...
Does she go with you?
Yeah. So for the night gigs, she's usually around and helping out sell CDs or, you know, talk to people a little bit of socializing because I have a hard time socializing and playing music at the same time, obviously.
So she's your roadie.
Yeah. Roadie and groupie, yeah. But, she's absolutely fantastic. And we're going to try this, see how long it goes. So this, just happened recently. But I've been playing at this place called Potbelly's, a sandwich shop. They're based out of Chicago, but they have many metro locations. And if you check on my website, it's benaaronmusic.com. There's a calendar that shows all the different sandwich shops that I play at. Every single week, I do the same rotation. So I'm in the Twin Cities area for lunchtime.
Is that one word? Benaaronmusic. Mickey Mouse.
That's right. BenAaronMusic.com. One long word there. But if you can search Ben Aaron and Music, I should pop up there somewhere around there. You'll find the musician from Minnesota.
It is 6 minutes before 11 o'clock. Right. I have one more break, and then you think of what you'd like to play as we conclude.
Fantastic.
All right. It is time for This Word.
Are you looking for spacious senior living in Northfield? Feel at home at Northfield Retirement Communities, Northwood Pines. Available for individuals and couples, this assisted living combines the privacy of one-bedroom plus den apartments with family-style meals and care available around the clock. Visit us online at northfieldretirement.org or call us today at 664-3466. Northfield Retirement Community. Innovation. Choice. Tradition.
When it's time for preventative maintenance on your new car or truck, you don't just take your car into anyone. At Witt Brothers Service in Northfield, you know you found a name you can trust. To start, we're at Napa Auto Care Center, so the technicians we employ are experts trained in every aspect of your vehicle's maintenance. This gives you the peace of mind in knowing that everything we do is accepted under the terms of your manufacturer's warranty. Add to that the fact that we use quality Napa parts that meet or exceed original equipment and specifications. And you have the one place where you can entrust all of your vehicles. Come see Witt Brothers Service in downtown Northfield today.
It appears like it's going to be another beautiful day here in Northfield, Minnesota. You're listening to KYMN. Your half-brother Daniel and your brother Alex may occasionally tune in to some of your gigs that you do. And I want everybody to know that we do archive our interviews. And you can go to kymnradio.net. Go to the Wayne Eddy Affair and then look for Ben Aaron's name, and you'll get a full playback of today's event. So I just want people to know that, and you can let people know on your list of fans. So what do you think we should do, the final song here?
Oh, I've got one lined up. We talked a lot about my influences. Very early on, my wife gave me this album by Bob Dylan called the Bootleg Songs, you know, his demos and stuff that, you know, didn't make it on the air. But one of my favorite songs to play, and I don't think I played it today, was Don't Think Twice. It's All Right.
Yep. I know that song.
It's, yeah, I think really.
My problem is I forgot to get you to do Lay Lady Lay.
Maybe next time.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it could be a next time on a Friday, do an hour show.
Yeah, yeah, I would love to. Maybe before a show over at the tavern or something. Maybe that would be great. Yeah, next month? I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, this one here, I've got enough time to fill it in here. Go ahead and start with this. This is one of my favorite Bob Dylan songs called Don't Think Twice, It's All Right.
It ain't no use to sit and wonder why, babe. You don't know by now. It ain't no use to sit and wonder why, babe. It'll never do you somehow. When your rooster crows at the break of dawn, look out your window and I'll be gone. You're the reason I'm a traveling on. You don't think twice, it's all right. No, it ain't no use in calling out my name, gal, like you never done before. No, it ain't no use in calling out my name, gal, 'cause I can't hear you anymore. Still I'm thinking and wandering, just walking down this road. I once loved a woman, or a child, I'm told. I gave her my heart, but she wanted my soul. You don't think twice, it's all right. So long, long, honey, babe. Oh, where I'm bound, well, I can't tell. Goodbye is too good a word, babe, so I just say fare thee well. Well, I ain't saying you treated me unkind. You could have done better, oh, but well, I don't mind. You just wasted my precious time. You don't think twice, it's all right.
It's all right, Ben. Thank you. That was great. It's all right. It's all right. Well, Ben Aaron, I want to thank you very much for joining me in my studio here this morning on KYMN, Northfield, Minnesota, 1080 on your AM dial, 95.1 FM, The One, from Northfield, Minnesota. Ben, let's get together some Friday, and we'll play some more songs, all right?
That sounds good. Thank you for having me, Wayne.
You want to salute anybody goodbye at all?
Oh, no, I'm just, as I always say...
Aubrey, you want to say bye, sweetie?
Goodbye, sweetie. I'll see you in just a little bit there, Aubrey, so thanks again.
It's time for 15 with the Author, hosted by Terry Knight. Join Terry as she opens the cover on a different book each week and talks with the author about their book, their life, and their message. Take a deeper look under the cover with Terry.
Prestigious, powerful, privileged. This is Fulbrook Academy, an elite prep school where history looms in the leafy branches over its brick walkways. But some traditions upheld in its hallowed halls are profoundly dangerous. On today's show, I talk with Brendan Kiley, author of Tradition is Not an Excuse. The novel follows two students, neither of which feel they belong. Welcome to the show, Brendan.